listening to the WDYM, the What Do You Mean podcast. Now everyone gather around and listen to one of Hamilton's best podcasts. No research to back this up. Your host, Michael Gillespie.
And welcome to another episode of the WDYM. I'm your host, Michael Gillespie. Hope everybody's doing good. Hope everybody's doing well. This episode is an impromptu episode. I didn't plan this. I didn't write no cliff notes or anything like this. I was hit with something that was very personal to me. March 7th on Twitter, getting ready to go to bed. It was like 10:30 at night. And I get on Twitter, and one of the people I follow on Twitter, Geekdom101, puts out a tweet saying Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, is dead. No joke, right? So it's 10:30 at night. I'm like, man, I usually, you know, Google or, you know, Safari, something would be out there. I could search Akira Toriyama and it would confirm it. And it wasn't the case. So I stayed paying attention to X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm looking for someone else to confirm it. So he puts out the tweet saying that, you know, Akira Toriyama's passed. And then shortly later, the Dragon Ball website put out a press release confirming what has happened. And I'm still amazed to hear this. I'm still shocked to hear that Akira Toriyama is gone. Now, again, if you follow Dragon Ball, you follow Akira Toriyama, this dude doesn't come out for anything, right? He just doesn't do media. He just is real to himself. He's his own. He just does not do any of this media and stuff like that. So as the press release comes out, this man died March 1st. And the first hearing about it was, for me, 10:30 at night on March 7th. So it's a shock to me that this man is gone. Like, if you know me personally, you know I love I love Dragon Ball. In my studio, I have two posters up of the Z Fighters and the Saiyans. Raditz, Vegeta, Nappa, which is a good poster, by the way. Thank you. Shout out to my boy Dylan for the posters and everything. So losing something like that meant easily stopped my world. Now, when I say that, there's only certain things outside of my family that could stop my world. Like, if anything happens to Elton John, Billy Ocean, Michael Jordan, and Akira Toriyama, I need to pause, because those are people that have heavily influenced my life. And Akira Toriyama is definitely one of them. As the night went on, where I'm looking for sources and I'm looking for something to confirm it and everything, I just see a whole bunch of people on Twitter, a whole bunch of people on Instagram that are just as shocked as I am. And funny as it was, as soon as I heard this news, dude, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't, like, fall asleep or rest. Like, you know, it's 10:30 now. I got to get up at 5 o'clock to get ready for work. Yeah, that's not happening. One man's vision, manga, has an impact worldwide across, you know, everybody. Millions of people are affected by Dragon Ball or Dragon Quest or Chrono Trigger. Or I think another one's Blue Dragon, but I don't know. I've never read that. Sandland, I think that's another one. All his work has had some impact, some touch on somebody. And that's even including myself. To hear that Akira Toriyama is gone has really made me sad. From a personal point, Dragon Ball has always been my thing. Since junior high, waking up early in the morning and watching the first episode where Raditz comes to Earth and kills the farmer, and that thing triggered so many things to this day. One of the things that I used to love back then was actually getting the VHS tapes. And yes, I'm dating myself talking about the VHS tapes. But that was my thing. I would go to Tri-County Mall in over here in Ohio and go to Suncoast Video and get the latest VHS copies of Dragon Ball Z. And it was my thing. I would watch those nonstop. Watch them nonstop, periodically, all the time, after school. Like, it was the Bible for me. And I was never ashamed of watching anime, right? Because back in the 90s, anime wasn't very popular. Nobody was going, like, now you can go to a theater and watch a anime movie in a theater. Let's take a minute for that. And say that was not a thing in the 90s. It was more of a, hey man, you watch this show called Dragon Ball or something like that? And that would perk my ears. Like, yeah, I may know a thing or two about Dragon Ball. I used to love Dragon Ball Z. But fast forwarding to that, I used to get the tapes all the time. And the thing about the VHS tapes, if you lined them on their side, I used to give a picture of the latest saga and everything. And I got to a point where that people used to come to me for the Dragon Ball. I was a Dragon Ball distributor. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, Michael, you got any of those Namek Saga VHS? I said, man, do I ever? You want one or two of these? I was the dealer for Dragon Ball Z. That's how it was back in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? It was just a great time to be a Dragon Ball fan. And the thing about the VHS tapes, or buying the actual tapes, because it wasn't DVD, because DVDs were expensive back then. Buying the tapes, I ran risk of, you know, people damaging them and stuff. And boy, I would have been upset. Another thing about getting the VHS tapes, I can go beyond the TV show. Because back in the day, the TV show would go all the way up to a certain point and reset back to episode one. So when I was getting those VHS tapes, I'm talking about things I ain't even heard about. Yeah, like, yo, there's this kid named Trunks comes out, and he's a Super Saiyan too. And they'd be like, oh, what's that? What's, and like, Mike, I need those copies, man. And I was out there just distributing Dragon Ball. The thing about that is that sparked a passion for so many things. Again, you know, that anime made anime popular all over the United States. And then once that came out, then you got the big three with Bleach, Naruto, and One Piece. And just to say that Dragon Ball was the takeoff for anime in the U.S. And that was just amazing to me. That was just one of the things that made me who I am. And now, I always wondered, like, how much life lessons or anything that I learned from Dragon Ball. It was just, you know, always, you know, being humble. That's the one thing I learned, at least what I picked up, was from Goku, that he was always humble and anxious to help people and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm very thankful for Akira Toriyama and his creation of Dragon Ball. And it doesn't go there. Like, one of the things that stands out to me when we talk about Dragon Ball and everything was the movies, man. I used to watch the movies constantly. Before the Super Saiyan stuff happened, it was Dead Zone, Tree of Might, and World Strongest. Dead Zone, Tree of Might, World Strongest. I used to watch those things religiously. Ocean Dub. Mind you, Ocean Dub. Ocean Dub, that was the original OG and everything. I love some Ocean Dub. But man, I used to watch those religiously. And it's like it was so fun for me to watch these movies. I get everything in one setting. You know, I don't have to wait till next time on Dragon Ball Z. I get everything then and there, boom, boom, bang, bang, and then I'm out, you know, that's it. And I can watch it again and again and again and just analyze and do all that stuff. I used to be so knowledgeable of Dragon Ball. I used to, like, when people would talk about things, like, The power levels. I said, dude, power levels are trash. Don't go by power levels. That was I still one of the most debatable things in the, with the Dragon Ball community. Power levels are trash. And I used to go on about things and hype and theories and all that stuff. And another thing about Dragon Ball that I'm always appreciative of is that I branched off and, you know, decided when I started writing my own Dragon Ball story. And when I used to write like, you know, different things, different aspects and all that. And I was like, wait a minute. I started seeing people like who can draw Dragon Ball, you know, draw, you know, do commissions and all that stuff. And that started back in, you know, mid 2000s and all that stuff, 2014, whatever. And that led me to meeting other Dragon Ball fans, or at least artists that do Dragon Ball. All that because of Akira Toriyama's vision. That vision led to me writing more, making my own characters, creating my own ideas, and eventually writing my own version of the manga now, you know, and in doing all these commissions. So all that goes back to Akira Toriyama, you know, like because of his vision, I was able to write my own things and meet people who do commissions and stuff. And I'm so eternally thankful for that. You know, if it wasn't for Dragon Ball, I would never have met some of the artists that I've had like numerous conversations with, like Eric Babs, one of the guys who did my commissions for a while. Ishii1694, the guy I constantly work out. James D. Frosty. All these people that I've met that love Dragon Ball, that has a connection to Akira Toriyama. King Kino Arts. I cannot forget him. That's one of my favorite artists, too. All these people I've met because of Dragon Ball. And they've done wonders for me as far as, you know, taking my ideas and giving them life. I've always appreciated all the artists that do commissions for me. And it's all because of Akira Toriyama. So the question now is, what in the world is going to happen with Dragon Ball? One of the most popular IPs in Japan, worldwide, has lost its creator. I see that, you know, the creator of Yu-Gi-Oh! Passed away recently. I haven't seen anything since then. Now, mind you, I'm not the biggest Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan like I was early in the early 2000s and stuff. But when you lose a creator, where do you go from this? Now, I wonder if Toyotaro, his like the guy who's writing the manga, who's doing the manga now, what's he gonna do? Are we still gonna get Dragon Ball Super? What about Dragon Ball Daima, which is supposed to come out in 2024? I'm pretty sure it's already in production and everything. But where are the ideas? Is it doomed? Is Dragon Ball doomed to go away? And I wonder, and I also wonder, like, what's the online community going to do as soon as something that we don't like or something that doesn't fit the idea of Dragon Ball? Well, what are we going to say? Like, well, if Akira Toriyama was still here, it wouldn't be this way. So it's a weird situation we're in as a Dragon Ball fan and the community as well. And it goes to show. And one of the things that I smirk about is because I just started talking about Dragon Ball on the podcast. I think I did last two episodes with Dragon Ball podcast. Now this one's going to be another episode of Dragon Ball. And this is an episode I don't even want to put out there. I don't want to put this episode out there because it's near and dear to me. Like, dude, it's rough, man. It's rough when you lose the people that inspire you, that make you happy, and it's just a joy to be here on this earth and everything. And now that he's gone, it's like, it's the biggest downer ever. Like I said, my studio has two posters. I got Sensu beans, two energy drinks that are all Dragon Ball related. That, mind you, I'm never open those energy drinks. But it's just like, I got all this influence and now the creator's gone. It's just such a big mental blow to me that this has happened. And I'm hoping, like, you know, like you always want your favorite things to keep going on forever. And this is the greatest showing that not everything lasts forever, and you have to take time to enjoy the moments you have on Earth. So, I'm just at a loss of words, man. I'm mentally trying to get, like, again, I took off work Friday, and I had the weekend off, kind of. Had Crystal Classic this weekend. But, like, I'm trying to wrap my head around moving on. And it sounds weird that I'm saying that, like, you know, moving on from this situation. But you have to. You know what I mean? Like, I know he's gone, and I feel like even though he's gone and everything, like, the IP is in good hands. I'm hoping. I'm having faith in that. Because I've had no problem with Dragon Ball Super other than retelling the stories over and over and over and over again. You know, telling us a superhero, which has already been a movie and all that stuff. So I'm hoping that the property's in good hands and that it continues to prosper and all that stuff. I'm anxious to see what happens for the rest of this year as far as Dragon Ball content and all that stuff. And I don't want to sound greedy or anything like that, but it's like, do you want this to continue? I mean, me personally, yes, of course, I do want Dragon Ball to continue. But at what point? Like, what do you do in a situation when the creator dies? And I'm pretty sure he has memoirs and everything like that, like of what he was doing, what he was writing. I'm pretty sure there's stuff out there or on his desk or in his person. But I wonder what's next. Do you just start over? Do you just say, hey, we start a new direction? I think looking forward, do you just build your own Dragon Ball? You know, we've been in what? The North Hemisphere, the seventh universe. What do we do something different? Would the fans revolt? I mean, like, me personally, if I was taking over Akira Toriyama's work and doing Dragon Ball, I don't know if I feel comfortable continuing to write Dragon Ball as is. Do you put a end cap on the story we got with Goku and Vegeta, Gohan and all that stuff? Do we put an end cap, say, look, let's tell the story for a year and then create a new story, new universe, new characters and all that stuff? Would that be a way of honoring Akira Toriyama? That's a good question in my book. What would you do in that situation? I mean, if we continue Dragon Ball, but tell a different aspect of it, because you can't match what Akira Toriyama has done. You know, the thing with Dragon Ball was that there is some humor in Dragon Ball. Prime example, Goku, one of the strongest warriors in the whole series, is afraid of needles. You know, Majin Buu will fall asleep in the middle of battle because he's bored of beating your tail in. Those are things that are Akira Toriyama's type funnies that we may not get no more. So it may be good to honor him by doing a different direction. But then we get close to that Black Panther thing, which is a whole nother story for a whole nother time. So it's a question of what is the right thing to do going forward. I'm hoping that he maybe left. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure he didn't know he was going to die either. So it's like, he was only 68. Can you imagine passing away at 68 years old? You know, we all aim to live as long as we can. But 68, man, that's young, man. And the thing is, like, how he died. He died from a blow to the head. And I think it was like a blood clot. I haven't read it because I don't want to read it. I don't want to read how one of the most influential people in my life passed away. So, I don't know. It's just a very bitter pill to swallow. Just sucks. It just sucks to lose somebody that has brought so much joy to the world and everything. So, yeah. So one of my favorite things of Dragon Ball has always been the characters. The side characters, man. I mean, we all love Goku and all that stuff. But, man, I've always loved Krillin. The thing I love about Krillin was that, like, he's this one. Well, one, he's one of the shortest people on Dragon Ball. And that speaks to me. And the man was bald, too. Because, you know, I used to rock the bald, too. But bald. And one thing about Krillin, like, he was willing to fight. You know, he was willing to get down and fight. Like, hey, I may be short. I may be from Earth. I ain't no stinking sand. But I am going to fight. And that was something that I always thought was cool, Krillin. And then on top of that, my boy got one of the baddest women in Dragon Ball with the Android 18. So, nana nana boo boo, I got the girl and all that stuff. That was one of the things I loved about Dragon Ball. One of the things I absolutely hated about Dragon Ball will always be Cell. I freaking hated Cell so much. I mean, the thing about Cell is that, one, he was a punk, picking on all the humans and taking their energy. And then when he got to a point where, you know, his whole thing was to be perfect and be the perfect android, this, that, and the other, he started whining. I hated that. There's one part where he was getting his butt handed by Vegeta, and he's up there screaming, "It's not fair." I go, dude, what are you talking about? You've been eating all these humans this whole time. Now you want to whine it's not fair because Vegeta is putting his hands on you? I always hated that about Cell. And then on top of that, he manipulated it. He's like, yeah, well, you let me absorb Android 17. You'll get the match you want. I said, like, damn. But she's like, really? Like, what's going on, man? What are you talking about? Beat him and go home and fight Kakarot or something. You know what I'm saying? I just could not stand that. This thing about Cell, where he just manipulated people. And then when he's perfect, what do? He mopped the hell out of Vegeta. Served him right. And then he beat Trunks. And then he's sitting there. And, oh, man, I could go on and on about how much I hate Cell. He made a tournament. Like, you got 10 days. And then sat there just chilling. And then he wanted to go around terrorizing people. I couldn't stand Cell. I hate Cell. To this day, even post-Super, and I'm not talking about GT, I think Cell is the worst enemy, worst villain of all time. I cannot stand Cell at all. At all. So yeah, now in the episode. So you know, thank you, Akira Toriyama. Thank you for so much, man. I mean, dude, I wonder what my life would be without Dragon Ball. Seriously. There are so many people, so many artists, so many commissions that I've done inspired by Dragon Ball. And now that he's gone, I wonder what the future holds for Dragon Ball. So, with that being said, yeah. So you know, it's just still a bitter pill to swallow. It's just, it sucks. Man, thinking about it right now, just not cool. Thank you for tuning in, as always, to the WDYM. Show choir season's finally over, so I get back to doing my thing. Because, man, show choir takes a lot out of you. Boy, you never thought singing and dancing would take so much out of you, but it does. I'm your host of the WDYM, Michael Gillespie. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And make sure you love each other, man, because you never know when time is up. Peace out, Girl Scout, Boy Scout. Peace.